Good to see everybody back this afternoon. Appreciate your staying for the fellowship and certainly for joining us with the worship. Really want to thank our young people, the teens and all that you did for us. I've been here 21 years, and that's the first time that the teens have signed themselves up for something like this. They just kind of took it upon themselves and really did a fine job on the hosting and hostessing of this, and I just really, really appreciate that. Well done. That was a wonderful thing that you did, and I know there was a lot of planning in that. Appreciate those who took part in the planning, but thank you all very much for that and all that provides so much for them. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over, Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to look. This is a fifth Sunday, so I'll try and make sure it doesn't go over 12 minutes, but I will try and give you something that's worth thinking about for 12 minutes and hopefully into the week as well. The Sermon on the Mount, certainly, it's not the most impressive sermon ever preached. It's tied for it because it's an incredible set of thoughts and commands and ways to live. But chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus just makes this simple declaration and guarantee. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." I think we've all had times in our lives where we have been praying for something, maybe very fervently, very sincerely, and it just didn't work out the way that we had hoped that it would. Either we experienced some heartache that we did not want to experience, or somebody let us down, or something didn't turn out the way that we had wanted it to. And I think there are times where, if we're not careful, we might think that somehow God is not fulfilling the promise that he gave through Christ. Ask and it will be given to you. And so let's look at a couple of passages, a set of passages that maybe will help us to understand what he's saying and also to understand the great gift that he's giving to us. I feel very comfortable with the election that's coming up. I don't feel very comfortable necessarily with all those who are participating in it, but I feel very comfortable with the fact that God is able to work it out the way he wants it to work out. And he's all, whether it's his intent for us to be rewarded or his intent for us to be punished or whatever it is, he is able. And so we can pray, "Thy will be done." And if we are sincere in that, we're going to get his will. He wants to give us his will. And his guarantees are just that. They are not empty promises. They are not, "Well, I guess it didn't work out that time." I remember that old country and western song where the singer crooned, I'm thankful for unanswered prayers." Well, don't be thankful for unanswered prayers, because Fly just almost entered the ministry, didn't he? Don't be thankful for unanswered prayers, because that means one of two things. Either you didn't have the right to be praying in the first place, or, well, I guess it just means one thing. You didn't have the right to be praying. Because God will answer our prayers. It'll be yes or no. And I realize sometimes we have to wait for the answer. But God is faithful. And I think we need a confidence in that. I think that helps us to get through life. And we don't have to always live as if something is hanging over our head just waiting to crash down because God did not answer our prayer in the way that we thought that he should have. James chapter 4, verse 2 says this: "You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." And so here is the first problem is there are very many times where we want God to do certain things. We expect him to do certain things, but we don't even ask him. And so we don't have the right for that expectation if we don't ask. But then how about when we do ask and it doesn't work out? Verse 3, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." One of the things I'm convinced that we really need to focus on when we pray to God is, are we praying to serve or are we praying to be served? Because if we think that we can go to the creator of the universe and give him a list of requirements that we will need in order to be faithful to him, we're missing the point. There are a lot of things that he sees that we do not. And I'm absolutely convinced that from God's perspective, he wants things to work out so that the most people can be saved on his terms. And sometimes that will mean difficult times. Sometimes that will mean going through a period of punishment. But he is still answering our prayers in the way that we want whenever we ask for his will. But if our motives are bad, if we're just asking for ease and comfort, we're not asking for the right thing. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Pardon me. 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is always comforting to me. Eternal life is available. It's for us to accept his terms, but it's there. If we'll accept his terms, we have eternal life. Now, I realize that's a big if, and it requires every effort that we can give, but there it is. We know that we have eternal life. And then he says this, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So does God always hear our prayers? And the answer is no. If we're not asking according to his will, we don't have a guarantee that he'll hear us. But this says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. And again, the key is asking according to his will. And maybe the best example of that is the prayer that Jesus offered in the garden, because we know that Jesus wanted the cup to pass from him if it was God's will. And just look how he put it. Matthew chapter 26. I know it's a familiar passage, but just really look at that. I think if we can see how Jesus approached God, perhaps in the most important prayer that he ever offered, it will give us some insight as to how we're to pray and the attitude that we need when we go before God. Then Jesus, verse 36 of Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Some of y'all have probably experienced a similar type of sorrow, so you know how Jesus was feeling here. Maybe you have a glimpse in a little bit of how Jesus was feeling. He was also going to be taking the sins of the world on him, and we couldn't possibly understand that. But he goes on to say, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground. Do you see the humility that Jesus had when he approached his Father? Pure and without sin, and yet Jesus fell on his face because that was the position he felt was appropriate for this prayer. And then he said this, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." I often wondered, Jesus came into this world to die for our sins. Why is he now going before God and saying, "Would you take this cup from me?" And, of course, we don't know. I think that we could probably maybe, there are some things that would be reasonable. And it may be that he didn't want to leave his apostles just yet. It may be that he saw how much good his miracles were doing to people who were without hope without him, and he wanted to stay for that. It may be that he did not necessarily want to go through the pain and the humiliation and the being treated as an unholy person as he was about to be treated. We don't know, but my point is we can see some reasonable thoughts even for the Son of God to have to want the cup to be taken from him at that point. But whatever it was, he started off by saying, "If it's possible," and then saying, thy will be done. And I love that part because for years I thought Jesus didn't have his prayer answered in the way he wanted it to be answered. Not that he didn't have his prayer answered, but that it wasn't in the way he wanted it because the cup wasn't taken from him. But it was answered in precisely the way he asked because he said, if it's possible. And then he said, thy will be done. And Jesus wanted God's will before he wanted what he wanted. And I'm absolutely convinced if that's the way we would approach God whenever we pray, that there would be a greater comfort and a greater assurance in that prayer. Because there are times where it doesn't seem to work out the way we want it to, but if it's his will, then of course it has, if we really want his will. And let me just put this caution. Don't pray for God's will if you don't want it. But if you don't want God's will, don't pray. Because there are a few things, I believe, that are more dangerous than to utter a lie to God or to go inappropriately in his presence. We see him come back again. It says in verse 40, he returned to his disciples, found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the body is weak. Y'all can understand that after a full meal, can't you? And then he says this, he went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. Now notice the way this prayer shifts. He realizes it very well may not be possible. If it is, God will find the way to make it work out perfectly. But he says, if it's not, I want your will. And then he comes back that third time, again, finds them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. He wanted God's will. When we read this, ask and it will be given to you, that's exactly what it means. It will, but it has to be according to God's will. And if our hearts are right, what else would we want? Sometimes this means pain, and sometimes this means discomfort, and sometimes this means hard things. But if we ask for God's will, we're always going to get the very best. And we need to have enough trust in God to accept that, even when the answer is difficult. Invitation's open. If you need to respond, why don't you do that while we stand and sing.